Hey, Junior, why don't you start off telling me why are you going to city council on Monday night and what are you asking for?
Well, the city's going to make a determination this week on the buildings that we've been asking for the People's Ballroom particularly and for the other offices for tribal council. We're going to ask them for three buildings around down on Liberty, right around Liberty and First and Williams. And the three buildings are the old Finer Glass building, Zahn's Garage, and there's a warehouse building in between both of them. We're asking for all three buildings, and we're also made a budget request for $21,700 from the city budget to be put into this community center complex, so that which would just be minimal funds to bring the especially to bring the ballroom up so that we could use it, build it up so we could use it, and then we could take them, make some money from the ballroom and put it into offices and into the other space, you know, for example, for the food committee to have a, maybe even have a store, you know, or at least to have a warehouse where they could keep food, for the recycling committee to have space to store things that are getting ready to be recycled, for the Ann Arbor Sun, for the tribal network, particularly to have a central communication network thing. And I mean, most important though is the ballroom where people can get together and talk, you know, and find out what's going on. And you know, hopefully the city will respond. I think they will respond one way or another. They have to make the decision between whether to give us those three buildings or to give us back the Washington Street buildings, to have those at least until November. The meeting is Monday night at 7:30 at City Hall. If people can come and show the support for it, it'd be killer. We think that there is a good possibility that the city will give us a building, at least one building, possibly, hopefully all three of them, you know, because we think they're beginning to see the importance of the tribal council, and we think particularly they're beginning to see the problems that aren't going to be solved unless young people are solving them, you know, themselves, the problems with young people. And, you know, for that reason, we think the city will respond and will give us one of the buildings, at least.
Yeah.
David?
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy will be right back. He just went to the bathroom.
Okay, I just want, alright, good, you talked. I just want to check that it came out. Hold on.
Did it come out good?
Yeah, well, the other one didn't. I'm going to do it again.
Oh, okay.
You're on.
This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at the Union Ballroom at 8 p.m. on Friday, March 2nd. In order to vote in the April 2nd elections for Ann Arbor City Council and new mayor, you must be registered no later than Friday, March 2nd. For home delivery registration or general information, call 663-1111. Won't you come along? Oh, boy. No, man. Oh, we got to start over.
Yeah, start over. And yeah, maybe you don't got nothing in there about why. Why should you register to vote? And you might just say a thing about that.
Okay.
This is important, man. You know, something.
You ready?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at the Union Ballroom at 8 p.m. on Friday, March 2nd. In order to vote in the April 2nd elections for Ann Arbor City Council and new mayor, you must be registered no later than Friday, March 2nd. For home delivery registration or general information, call 663-1111. Remember, it's your obligation to vote.
Okay, it's your obligation to register. Did you say that the gig is on Friday?
Yeah.
It's on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
It's March 1st.
I can tell this is going to take a couple minutes.
That's all right. That's all right. It's worth it.
Okay.
Just, yeah, I think, you know, you should be excited about this. This is far out, man. It's going to be on a lot.
Wait a minute.
Light up a joint or something.
Okay.
Say it like you mean it.
All right. Let's try it again.
Okay, hit it.
This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at the Union Ballroom at 8 p.m. on Thursday, March 2nd.
In order to Thursday, March 1st.
Oh, no, man.
What the fuck did I get second from? I didn't make
it. I don't know. You're sounding good, though. Just go ahead. Don't get discouraged.
No, I didn't get discouraged.
Good.
This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at the Union Ballroom at 8 p.m. on Thursday, March 1st. In order to vote in the April 2nd elections for Ann Arbor City Council and new mayor, you must be registered no later than Friday, March 2nd.
God damn it. Wait a minute, man. That's supposed to be Thursday, right?
No, no, wait a minute. The gig is on Thursday, but the point is that the deadline is the next day. The deadline is the second, but the gig is the first.
All right.
You dig? Okay. In other words, we're having the gig to get people up and excited. It's because Friday is the last day they can do it.
Okay, okay.
This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at the Union Ballroom at 8 p.m. Thursday, March 1st. In order to vote in the April 2nd elections for Ann Arbor City Council and new mayor, you must be registered no later than Friday, March 2nd. For home delivery registration or general information, call 663-1111. Remember, it is your obligation to register.
Right, now what happened to that stuff about what bands are going to play there?
It's coming.
All right, I don't know about your obligation. That don't sound right.
You don't think so?
No. Like, well, you don't even have to say this. Had to say the rest of what you had before. The stuff about who's playing and all that.
Okay. Wait a minute, man.
What?
Are you going to edit this? Or
yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Thank you. Fenton?
Yeah.
Wait a second, man. Listen.
You want to hear what you did?
No, let's just do the whole thing from the top, and I'll try and run it through. And
okay.
It's starting to look like a fucking pizza.
No.
No shit.
Yeah. Just be positive.
Positive. I am positive. Let me see. Wait a minute. I just want to, you know, I want to...
Do whatever you got to do.
This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon.
Nah. Oh, stumble.
Yeah, shit. 1, 2, 3. This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at the Union Ballroom at 8 p.m. on Thursday, March 1st. In order to vote in the April 2nd elections for Ann Arbor City Council and new mayor, you must be registered no later than Friday, March 2nd. For home delivery registration or general information, call 663-1111. Come on and get down with Real Smokehouse Uprising and the world famous Knockdown Band.
What? You left that hanging.
Thursday, March 1st.
Oh, you gotta do that one over again.
Okay. Thursday, March 1st at the Union Ballroom for the WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at 8 p.m. General admission $1. Music to be broadcast live on WNRZ.
Yeah, I would change the and to say, and it'll be broadcast live right here on your radio. You said NRZ a little too many times.
No, well, that was for the one. You told me to make up two.
Oh, I see. You're doing... Oh, man, I don't... It sounded to me like you were doing one spot.
No, you told me to make up two different ones. One for WNRZ and then one for the other radio station.
Yeah, but which was the... You mean the first ones for the other ones?
First one's for WNRZ, and the second one I haven't read yet.
Oh, I see. All right. Listen, I'd like you to do that whole one, oh, the one for NRZ, from beginning to end as a coherent whole.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Ready? This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at the Union Ballroom at 8 p.m. on Thursday, March 1st. In order to vote in the April 2nd elections for Ann Arbor City Council and new mayor, you must be registered no later than Friday, March 2nd. For home delivery registration or general information, call 663-1111. Come out and get down with Rio Smokehouse Uprising and the world-famous Knockdown Band. Thursday, March March 1st at the Union Ballroom. Join us. Fuck this. Join's a giant word, right?
Okay. It sure is.
Yeah.
You can do it from that point on.
Okay. Remember, the WNRZ voter registration marathon at 8 p.m. General admission, $1. Music to be broadcast live on WNRZ.
Do it again. Music to be broadcast live right here on your radio.
Okay.
All right, do that whole last part.
Okay. General admission, $1. Music to be broadcast live right here on your radio.
Oh, you flubbed off.
Yeah.
Do before general admission, you had another couple of sentences.
Oh, yeah.
Do that whole wrap up.
Remember, my friend.
Only you could prevent.
You. Okay. Remember, WNRZ voter registration marathon at 8 p.m. General admission, $1. Music to be broadcast live right here on your radio.
All right, we got it. Do the other one.
Oh, my God.
Hold on, I gotta make sure we're not running out of tape.
Okay.
Okay, do the second version.
Is there going to be a music backdrop for this?
Yeah, what should I put? What do you want?
You're going to give me... a solo from It Ain't Easy.
Uh-huh. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the voter registration boogie on Friday, March 2nd. I got the dates. I forgot to cross the dates out.
Right.
God damn it, Fenton. Why didn't you tell me there was two different days there?
But you knew.
Oh, man. I thought I was going
to... I guess I just ain't a very experienced producer.
Well, I'm glad you're hip to it at a young age. no later than March 2nd, right?
Oh, do it.
Wait. Okay, here we go.
1, 2.
This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the voter registration boogie on Thursday, March 1st at the Union Ballroom in Ann Arbor. In order to vote in the April 2nd elections for Ann Arbor City Council and new mayor, you must be registered no later than March 2nd. For home delivery registration or general information, call 663-1111. Music will be provided by Real Smokehouse, Uprising, the world-famous Knockdown Band, and yours truly, Mitch Ryder. We'll be looking for you Thursday, March 1st, at the Union Ballroom in Ann Arbor. General admission, $1.
Okay, now that one was really good. What happened to the first one?
We'll do it again if you want.
Yeah.
Okay, you got enough tape?
Yeah.
This is Mitch Ryder inviting you to attend the WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at the Union Ballroom at 8 p.m. on Thursday, March 1st. In order to vote in the April 2nd elections for Ann Arbor's City Council and new mayor, you must be registered no later than Friday, March 2nd. For home delivery registration or general information, call 663-1111. 663-1111. Get down with Real Smokehouse, Uprising, and the world-famous Knockdown Band. Thursday, March 1st at the Union Ballroom. WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at 8 p.m.
You lost. Just to do the end.
Okay. Remember, WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at 8 p.m. General admission, $1. Music to be broadcast live on your radio.
Yeah, but the end, you were supposed to say this Thursday, right?
I was supposed to say what?
This Thursday. You just said 8 p.m. You didn't say what day.
Let's take it from...
a little bit back further.
Okay, I'll... Get down with Real Smokehouse, Uprising, and the world-famous Knockdown Band, Thursday, March 1st, at the Union Ballroom. Remember, WNRZ Voter Registration Marathon at 8 p.m. Thursday, general admission $1. Music to be broadcast live on your radio.
Okay, and good night.
All right, Finn, let me hear it. When will I be able to hear it?
Well, we'll have it cut up tomorrow. I can play it back for you on the phone.
Okay.
Why don't you give me a call tomorrow or something?
Okay, what's the time?
at what time?
I'll be back here with it by 6.
Do you have the music on it then, too?
Yeah.
And what other radio besides NRZ are you going to run?
The NRZ one will just be on NRZ. The other ones I'm going to try to put on WAAM. It's a local AM station, and WCBN, a local student FM station.
What about ABS?
I'm going to try it.
What about the university station?
That's the one I got, CBN.
Yeah,
I'm going to try for ABX. I don't know if they'll do it. They are announcing the gig, though.
Why don't you let me call somebody and see if I can get some reaction from them on it.
Well, let me try first. They might just do it.
Okay.
You know, maybe I can just feed it on the phone to them, or maybe I'll send it.
Okay, in any case, I'll call you tomorrow. What time?
6.
See you then.
All right.
Goodbye.
For resolution 4, you mean? All right. Okay. Is there further discussion on the resolution 3? Councilman Hadley. For demolition number 7, somebody move it. Support. Is there discussion? Did you want to speak on behalf of tribal council? May I ask unanimous consent for this young lady to speak to us? Thank you. Would you identify yourself?
It was our understanding that you were going to help us obtain estimates of how much it would cost to fix up the finer glass building and Zahn's auto garage. And at the present time, we haven't obtained those estimates. And so we are asking that you defer the decision once again on the demolition of the Fisher Cadillac building. And I've heard tell that you're planning on doing the bids tonight. You know, you're planning on saying it's cool to demolish the building. Well, I think that's because you don't understand the desperate need for a people's ballroom. Planning on those estimates. And so we are asking that you defer the decision once again on the demolition of the Fisher Cadillac building. And I've heard tell that you're planning on doing the bids tonight. You know, you're planning on saying it's cool to demolish the building. Well, I think that's because you don't understand the desperate need for a people's ballroom or for a people's community center. And I want to try and explain to you how come it's so necessary for there to be a place for young people to go in the city, a place where we can get together and collectively deal with our problems. We need a place, the young people need a place that they can direct their energies to, a place that they could learn skills, and a place where they can develop talents which can be of service to them in many years to come, as well as a service to the whole community. And there's just too many of us, young people and poor people in general, that because of a lack of things to do, because of a lack of a place to get together, we fall to death drugs. Now, this, I don't want you people to think that this is a joke, because it's not a joke at all, because there are going to be a lot of young people coming in here in the spring and in the summer. They're going to be coming through from out of town. And if there's not anything for them to do, they're just going to be hanging out, and most likely they're going to be getting into bad dope. You know, and this, I'm not trying to threaten you or anything, but it's a really serious problem, you know, and it could be any one of your kids or any one of your friends' kids that's shooting up heroin, you know, or killing their mind doing qualus. And so I'm rounding it up.
No, I didn't mean to rush you. I wanted to ask you a question when you were through.
Okay. People are going to be most likely stealing stuff with the bad drugs being a heavy thing in Ann Arbor. It's going to get to be a really bad scene. It could be. And it's just generally going to result in a higher crime rate, you know. This whole summer, it could possibly result in a higher crime rate if there aren't places such as the People's Ballroom and People's Community Centers where people can get together and direct their energies. And so we're really concerned with the future of Ann Arbor, and we always have been. And we're looking forward to a whole new era of cooperation, community cooperation. But this can only happen if the established order, you know, truly shows that they are sincere about helping the young people with their problems. And so we're asking that you defer the decision one more time tonight and help us quickly find estimates about how much it would cost to fix up Zahn's and Finer Glass building.
My difficulty is the connection between the demolition of this and the relocation of the ballroom. I mean, I share your sentiments in terms of why it's desirable to have a community center, why the community center ought to be helped to relocate. I guess I don't see this under any state of affairs as a potential new location. So it strikes me, at least as I see it, it's inevitable this has got to go down.
Mm-hmm.
If
sure,
for no
it
other
has
reason,
to go down.
That, yeah.
But there are no other buildings at the present time. You know, we've been looking into other buildings, but as yet, the city hasn't really helped us, you know, in finding these buildings.
What?
And so if the Washington Street, 504 East Washington was the last place, you know, we would be willing to get out in November. If we couldn't get any other place, you know, I've heard that you don't want us to get finer. I've heard all sorts of things, you know. And so until we have, you know, assurance that the city is going to help us in finding a place, well, you know, we want to defer the decision because as it is now, there are no buildings.
But I guess I still don't understand the connection. I mean, you're not in this place now. It really isn't feasible to use this place, considering the short time that's left between now and November 1st
really
and the cost of repair.
Because we were only in the last ballroom. We only had worked on it, and we're only having concerts and as well as other things in the ballroom for 3 months. And this was really a great help to our community, I feel. And if we have 6 months, you know, we can, as well as be finding another place, we can get young people off of the streets, you know, right now. It's really a necessary problem right now. We need a place.
Are there questions for the young lady, Councilman DeGree?
No, I don't have a question.
Well, excuse me, let me just see if there are questions.
I can answer your question, though, about why we want to keep this building until there's another building. And that's because we don't know how much it's going to cost to work on the other buildings.
Right.
While we do know how much it's going to cost to fix Fisher Cadillac. And if it's less to fix Fisher Cadillac, that seems like the more reasonable thing to do.
But
right
the problem is that the other building, I assume, is something that can go beyond November 1st. And the trouble with Fisher Cadillac is that we got the, well, I mean, it doesn't make much sense unless the other building does give some period of time. On the Fisher Cadillac, the problem that I see is that it's only got a November 1st terminal date, which is why, you know, I just don't see the sense of it. If you're not getting cooperation on the other thing, that's a separate problem, and I think you should be getting cooperation, and I would hope that with revenue sharing we can do something to help the problem that's tangible. But I still don't understand the tie building.
If those other buildings are too expensive for us to fix or to get fixed and we cannot use them, we would be able till November at least then to be able to use that Fisher Cadillac building. That's why we're asking to delay on the demolition until we're sure about which is the more reasonable.
Yeah, Mike?
Actually, we have been working with them. Why don't you talk?
Talking with Jeannie Plamunda of Tribal Council, and we just received some inspection statement today from Building Safety on the Fine and Glass building. We do not have any estimates yet. We hope by next week's council meeting to have full estimates on the cost of repair of the Fine and Glass building and to determine whether or not that is economically feasible to repair that building. I think what Tribal Council is saying is that defer action tonight to see just how much it's going to cost to repair the Fine and Glass building. If it's economically infeasible to do that, then they're willing to invest money in the Washington Street site until November as a temporary resting place until they can find more permanent quarters.
Are there other questions for the young lady? Thank you. Is the ordinance before us? Should we move the ordinance? All right. Are the resolutions? Councilman DeGreek, then Councilman Thomas.
Yeah, I think it's that 2 weeks ago, we moved to defer this in order for us to get those estimates on those other two buildings. Now, we thought at the time that there was good reason, and I think that that was stated why that was, and 2 weeks have passed, and tonight we still don't have those estimates. So it seems logical, based on the fact that we're assuming the fact rather that council made a logical decision 2 weeks ago to defer, to get certain kinds of information. We do not at this time have it. That we should continue to defer until we have that information.
Councilman Fairbanks.
Yeah, I guess the disagreement that we have, Jerry, is that I don't feel that it's up to the City Hall to get those estimates. Now, if Tribal Council is on the ball, they can get out and get the estimates just as they did on the present building, prepared for them by a contractor or by citizens or what have you of their choice. And I think that the demolition of the building on Washington Street is not hinged at all to getting estimates on occupying other buildings. I've got no problem if they want to go down to another building, if they can come in with something that they can handle. I can't imagine that there is any need or any reason at all to think that they're going to put 20-some-odd thousand dollars into either building. I think that's a very ambitious program. I think the decision should be made on the Washington Street building. We've got months to make the decision whenever they'll get around to themselves getting the bids for the other buildings.
Can I respond to that?
Is there any objection?
This is not a public hearing. This is a council meeting.
I'm sorry. Councilman Thomas.
Yeah, I agree with Jerry. And secondly, I think that it is the city's business to care about these people and the problems that they have. And I disagree with you, Lord. If they want to put $20,000 in the building to stay there for 4 or 5 months, and they're willing to expend the monies to do it, then at least we can do is consider their wishes. I don't see where waiting one more week is going to cost the city that much money.
Councilman Faber.
I guess that's one of the questions I'd like answered. What is the cost to the city of waiting another week? As I recall, though, we deferred not for that figure, but to find out what the the reason for the difference between the figures of... Oh, okay. Guy, I'm wondering now, what is the figure for renovation, the approximate figure for renovation of the Washington Street garage? Roughly.
Excuse me, I think you're going to run into the same objection. I think you're going to have to let council debate the issue.
I don't know. It was in the last report where we had a joint meeting with my staff and the representatives of the council. Do you have those, Mike? Why don't you go ahead and give them? There's a little distortion here. I've had practically one man working almost as steadily as he could. First, Jim Hudak, who's now gone to another job, and now Mike on this. And I don't really know. I don't quite like the business of saying they haven't had cooperation. It seems to me we're doing it as steadily and constantly as we can. And indeed, the girl nodded when Mike gave his report. It sounds to me as though we are making a real effort.
The estimates that we have, the city's estimates, were $13,294.50. Tribal Council's estimates were something like $7,021.50. So it's about half.
If the truth were somewhere in between, or even if it were the 13, doesn't make any difference at this point. Has any recommendation been made, if indeed we did go that route, for a temporary renovation of the building, where that money would come from? Has this been faced yet?
It's my understanding that Tribal Council is willing to put up the money for the renovation. Yeah.
Well, I guess I would go along. I don't know how much of it's going to come from Tribal Council if indeed they go this way, if they could come up with the whole thing. But I guess I feel with Norris, however we're going to resolve that if the problem does present itself, I think along. I don't know how much of it's going to come from Tribal Council if indeed they go this way, if they could come up with the whole thing. But I guess I feel with Norris, however we're going to resolve that if the problem does present itself. I think the problems of the youth having no place as of the moment to meet in the city is a very real problem, and it's going to become more severe and more real as we go through the summer. I think the biggest problem that we're facing really is the one that we're ultimately going to face, and that's the problem of what happens in November. And I would guess that's already resolved. But as of the moment, if indeed it comes to the point where there is no alternative to the structure until November, I think it certainly is worth considering that we use that, that we renovate that or allow it to be renovated. And for that reason, I would certainly go along with the idea and recommend that we all go along with the idea of at least postponing a week until we get some further information.
So moved.
Move that we defer for a week for what further information?
Well, evidently there is some question about the cost and the availability of several other structures. My guess is, my understanding is, that that information will be coming up within the week. Then at that time we can make the final determination on whether they're going to go to a new quarter or whether it would be to the city's interest to remodel this or allow it to be remodeled for use until November.
Councilman DeGree. Councilman Colburn. Councilman DeGree.
Bob Faber asked a question. Is there any financial costs in delaying? That was not answered. Is it going to cost the city anything, one week delay?
No, I don't think so. I think the bids will still hold good.
Councilman DeGree.
Yeah, just two comments. I'd like to point out that that we're also, I mean, not in terms of the same building or anything, but there's also the C4 organizations, Drug Help and Ozone House, and the Switchboard.
Which I concluded the answer is there's no guarantee that we'll move out November 1st. Subsequently, there was a mimeograph in which I got the opposite impression, but I guess I don't know what I'm supposed to rely on. And very frankly, if there's really any question that the group won't move out on November 1st, then my feeling is let's demolish the building now, and all this endless postponing of the decision just makes a hard decision harder by postponing it. The reason that I'm skeptical that people will move out, very frankly, is if people put in between $7,000 and $13,000 remodeling a building. Even if the leadership says, no, we're all going to move out, I suspect a significant number of people are going to say, no, we're not. We're going to stay in that building. We've now put so much effort into it, and we have no suitable other facility that people just won't leave. We have a big, messy scene, and whatever rapport that I think genuinely is being built up here is going to get all fractured in a big sit-in on a big show. I'm not going to be on council. I don't have to face it, but the next council is going to have to face it. It's going to be an ugly scene for everybody all the way around. And hence, if that's what we're building to, frankly, I'd just as soon cut the knot right now. If, in fact, there's any reasonable guarantees that we can rely on that people will, in fact, move out, I guess I'd like to know what those guarantees are.
We've said we'll move out, like, in November. If the contract says that, we'll do that, like what it says we got to do. Like, obviously, we're trying to follow some kind of legal thing. We're coming to city council.
Well, I guess what I'm really asking, I mean, we do this with developers, and I guess you're no different than this. The question is whether you're pledging your word that come November 1, you move out. And it isn't conditional. It's just as it is in the contract. At the end of November 1, everybody leaves, and that's it.
Just as it is in the contract, we would move out. It is not conditional. We would be required to.
All right, and I take it that this is tribal council's word that's being pledged to this.
The reason why we didn't, Jeannie couldn't speak that night as to whether we would or would not move out is because she is not the leader of tribal council. You know, there's very, very big misunderstanding about that. We don't work as, you know, with a leader top-down thing. We work as a collective organization. We make all our decisions together. You know, we don't vote. We talk it out until we all come to a common decision. You know, we came to the common decision that for sure we see the need so strong to have a ballroom, so strong for people to get together again, that we made the collective decision at the next meeting following the city council meeting that for sure we would move out November 1st. You know, you can rely on our word.
But we've got the word of tribal council to that effect.
And, you know, just from my own personal knowledge, you are an authorized spokesman of the tribal council? Okay.
Motion to defer to next week is before us, and we're to have estimates of the cost of renovation elsewhere at that time. Can we also get a recommendation as to what council has suggested it do on this subject? Further discussion? All those in favor of the motion to defer?
Aye.
Opposed? It carries. Excuse me. Negative votes recorded. Councilman Hadler, Councilman McCormick. Turning to communications from City Attorney, do you have any, Jerry?
Mr. Mayor?
Excuse me, Councilman?
I'd like to have someone, and maybe it's Jerry or Guy, I don't know really who should do this, but draw up a review of the Briarwood City agreements.
So that we could distribute it to the council. I was not on council with a good view of that negotiation and business went on. Jerry, could you help us out on that one, or maybe Guy? And I'd like to have a report.
These most recent charges brought against my husband, Pun Plamondon, and Craig Blazier of extortion and armed robbery are a political attack on fine community workers who've been through many other such attacks because of their daily work in the Ann Arbor community. Pun especially has had years of his life robbed from him already because of phony charges like bombing a CIA office hardly anyone knew existed. The CIA charges were dropped, the phony marijuana charges against him were dropped, and the laws were changed. The only charge they could make solid enough so he would spend time in prison a year and a half was possession of a falsified draft card. Since he's been out of prison, Pun has been working in the Michigan Committee for Prisoners' Rights and working on construction on our houses for the most part. Craig worked on the community center and the People's Ballroom. The heaviness of these charges after a year of almost no contact with police of any kind points out to us the seriousness of the attack against us. We can prove ourselves innocent of these charges just like we proved ourselves innocent of those past phony charges. At the present time, we don't even know the facts and circumstances around these charges. I know Pun, though, and I know he's no extortionist.
My name is David Finn. I spoke to you a few days ago. Right now what I'm trying to do is put together an article for our newspaper on the events that occurred last week, and we wanted to be fair and get your exact version of the story so we could have that for what we're going to write. So could you just run down for me briefly now, why is it that the dance did not happen in the Union Ballroom on Thursday night?
Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
I've been hearing these funny noises.
Yeah, just clicks. I don't know what they are. They're working on our phones today.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Well, now, I when I talked with you the other day, I did explain that to you.
Right, but I there's still a lot of confusion about it, and I'd just appreciate if you could just explain it from beginning to end, just briefly. I mean, the stuff about, because we're claiming that...
Yeah, I know, Mr.
Right,
Fenton.
Right.
I am hesitating because I've talked with the university attorneys. I guess the university is being sued on it, and I don't feel that I should say anything.
Well, can you just tell me why it was that it didn't happen? I mean, people want to know
well,
that.
Well, do you have a copy? If you'll get a copy of the Michigan Daily for, what was it, Tuesday morning, I think, or Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning, what I said is there.
Well,
and that's accurate.
Well, what you said was a change from what you said the day before, because in the Daily you said that, well, they may have contacted my office, but they never spoke to me personally. Now, we were never, before that, you had never even admitted that we even called your office. Well, we were saying,
well,
that
I was
we,
never asked.
See, well, again, we had spoke to your office, and they told us that these arrangements were proper, and that they were just waiting for the money. Could you just excuse me for 1 minute? Yeah, like I was saying, we went ahead with the procedures as we were told by your office what they were. And then first you said that we never went ahead with them, and the next day you said in the Daily that we may have spoken to your office, but that we never spoke to you. Of course, we were never told we had to speak to you.
No, you don't have to speak to me. The question that the Daily reporter asked me was whether we'd ever been spoken to regarding the space, and I said they didn't check with me personally, though they might have checked with my office. That's all I could say.
Wait a minute, but isn't checking with your office the regular procedures for confirming such a date? I mean, do people always have to talk to you personally?
No. But I couldn't confirm or deny whether anybody had talked. That's all. That's all I was saying.
Oh, I see. Okay, now let me ask you about something else. There are a lot of charges in the community that, in this instance as in others, that the union is actually, what they're doing is purposely harassing groups that are known as street people or rainbow people or anything like that. And we'd like to know if you can tell us if that's true, if the position of the people that work on the union is in any way for or against such events.
Well, I would say that we treat everyone the same.
Well, then let me ask you this. Why is it that when Jim Dolzo of WNRZ came down to the union to check out the space for setting up the live broadcast, you told Mr. Hilton came into the room and said, we don't want none of you rainbow people or none of you street people in here. Now, is that true that he said that?
I don't know.
You don't know? Because I tell you, I personally spoke to Mr. Hilton last night as I was in the union trying to put up a sign explaining why this wasn't happening. And he again told me that it should only be for students and this isn't a student organization and we don't want any street people in here. Which leads me to further believe that this is an example of prejudice on the part of you people who run the union. And like I said, I'd just like a statement either denying that or confirming that.
Well, I can't do either one because, of course, I wasn't there. I don't know what was said. But I think it's enough to say that we try to treat everyone the same.
Right. Okay, is Mr. Hilton there? Could I talk to him?
I don't know. We'll see if we can locate him for you.
Okay, I'll hang on.
Well, you stand by a minute and we'll see if we can locate him.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Steinman, you can start when you're ready.
Okay. Attorney General Frank J. Kelly announced this morning that Lawrence R. Punplamundon and Craig Blazier will be arraigned in Benzie County District Court today on charges of 1, conspiracy to extort, 2, extortion, 3, armed robbery, 4, conspiracy to violate the criminal usury law. Plamundon and Blazier were arrested Thursday in Washtenaw County on warrants issued as a result of an investigation by the Attorney General's Criminal Division and the Michigan State Police. The charges grew out of allegations that Plamundon and Blazier threatened physical harm in connection with an attempt to collect a debt based upon a large marijuana transaction in the Traverse City area. The complaint made before Benzie County District Judge William W. Stapleton alleges that Plamundon and Blazier delivered 25 pounds of marijuana, and when the recipient was unable to pay the agreed price of $3,000, Plamundon and Blazier appeared at the recipient's home in Benzie County and forced their way in. Plamundon and Blazier, the complaint alleges, told the recipient of the marijuana that he now owed $3,500 instead of $3,000 because of accumulated interest. The recipient's belongings, including all his clothing, a gold ring with a mounted diamond, a 9-inch TV, a stereo cassette player, and $275 were taken by Plamundon and Blazier. Blazier then told the debtor that he had 2 weeks to pay the $3,500, and that if he failed to do so, he could anticipate physical assault and possibly death.
Is that the entire text?
That's the entire text.
All right, can you just answer a couple brief questions? I'd just like to know, why is there no marijuana charges involved, either against the complainant or Plamundon or Blazier?
Well, I guess in the judgment of our criminal division, the charge appropriate to bring was related to their extortion and robbery, rather than to the marijuana.
Okay, I heard that bails were set this morning at $100,000 apiece.
Set for each in the amount of $100,000. My last information is that neither could post bail, and both are being held in lieu of bail.
Right. Can you tell me, was that a bond figure that was asked for by the Attorney General's office?
We asked. I don't know whether we asked for exactly that figure or whether, I'm not sure how the figure was arrived, that we asked for a substantial bond. Now, whether we asked for that amount, the judge agreed. Whether we asked for more, the judge decided on that figure, I'm not sure.
Okay, then tell me one other thing. Is it routine for the Attorney General's office to issue statements and to be involved to this extent in a case like this?
Right. If we are involved in the prosecution, we issue a statement to that effect. We issued one this afternoon, as a matter of fact, on another criminal matter in Muskegon County that we were asked to prosecute on.
Right.
We think the public has a right to know what we're doing.
Right. Okay, well then, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
soap suds out the window or something. So he just went up there. I don't know when he'll be back.
Oh, like maybe a half hour.
Yeah, is there something I can help you with? I'm the secretary.
Well, I'm Bill Maynard. I'm from WNRZ, mm-hmm. And I wanted to interview him for a newscast. So I guess I'll call him back.
I doubt whether he'd do it over the phone anyway, Bill. Why don't you come in the office? He's on duty this weekend.
Hello.
Hello. My name is Bill Maynard, and I'm from WNRZ,
uh-huh.
And I'm doing a newscast, and I wonder if I could ask you some questions about the union concerning Thursday night when there was going to be the register to vote marathon, and it got canceled.
Can you ask me some questions?
Yeah.
No, you can't. The deal's in court, and as far as I'm concerned, there's no comment.
We're going to be putting on, a newscast on it, and included in this is going to be, people making allegations about you.
They can make all the allegations they want. It's in court, and as far as I'm concerned, sir, no comment.
We have paid too little attention to the economic aspects. Why? Oh. You have to start every time you stumble?
Well, you really stumble. Good.
Oh, okay. Tell me when. Oh. We have paid too little... We have paid too little attention to the economic aspects of the paper and have continued to rely on the Rainbow People's Party for support. As a result of our financial disorganization and irresponsibility, we are now faced with the task of putting together $2,600 before we can put out our next issue. We know that if the Sun has become a real community newspaper, it must open up and speak much more to the people it's supposed to serve, with better articles and less rhetoric. Right now, the Sun's primary tasks are to raise the money to pay back our debts, print our next issue, and to find a new office out in the community where we need to be. We hope to publish a We've paid too little attention to the economic aspects of the paper. As a result of our financial disorganization and irresponsibility, we're now faced with the task of putting together $2,600 before we can put out our next issue. We know that if the Sun is to become a real community newspaper, it must open up and speak much more to the people it's supposed to serve, with better articles and less rhetoric. Right now, the Sun's primary tasks are to raise money to pay our back debts and print our next issue and to find a new office out in the community where we need to be. We hope to publish again by the end of this month.
I did confirm the dance before and after February 16th and was told that all I had left to do was bring in the rental payment by February 27th and the union would be ours. They never said anything about coming in before then, and if they did, we would have done it.
Okay, now I'm not exactly familiar with what you can or cannot say, so I'll just ask you stuff and you tell me what you can say and what you can't.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you start off by telling me what these charges are and what each of them, what possible sentence can come from each of these charges.
Okay. They're first both charged with conspiracy to commit extortion. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure whether or not in the state of Michigan conspiracy to commit an act carries the same penalty as the act itself. I believe it does. There's a federal statute whereby conspiracy is only a separate 5-year count. I believe that then the same penalty should be applied to the conspiracy statute as the extortion statute, which my understanding is 25 years. Then they're both charged with extortion, which is 25 years. Then they're both charged with armed robbery, which can be up to life. And then they're both charged with criminal usury. And I don't know the penalty for that. My guess is it's something like 5 years. It could be longer. But the serious charge is the armed robbery charge, which can carry up to life.
Right. Okay, now why don't you tell me what happened at the arraignment up north?
Well, I got the call the night before and started driving up there after I had, you know, talked to people in Ann Arbor. Got up there around 10:30, had called ahead of time to indicate to the court that I was on my way. Got there, talked with Pun and Craig, and read the complaint, and we were ready for the arraignment. And all that began around 11:15, I suppose, finally, when it all happened. And the judge, immediately after the taking of the plea of mute, set $100,000 on each of them. And we began arguing. And we argued bond for at least half an hour, I believe close to an hour. And basically, it was a recitation of Pun's contacts with various law enforcement agencies, with the assistant attorney general. They had two there. With the assistant attorney general taking the position that he was clearly a totally nefarious person who could be counted upon to skip at any time. And I talked about how he had been subjected to phony charge after phony charge, none of which have ever been proved against him, and how he had once had the ordeal of spending 15 months in county jails on exorbitant bonds in excess of $100,000 without ever having been convicted of anything, and finally had to plead guilty to get out of jail and into prison so that he could have a hernia operation. And that's the real history of what's happened. That went on for a long time. Finally, the judge saying, which is somewhat of a concession, that, well, I'll be better able to judge bond at the time of the preliminary examination when the witnesses have been brought forth and subjected to cross-examination, which means there's some hope, at least, that the bonds can be reduced at the preliminary examination, even though I'm not contending that, you know, people should be very hopeful around that.
Right. Now, are these the usual kinds of bonds, the usual limit of bonds set in cases involving these kinds of charges?
No. I mean, the bonds are clearly exorbitant because if you actually look at the two defendants, aside from the publicity which surrounds them, Plamondon has exactly two convictions. One, he pled guilty to possessing a draft card of another person with intent to use fraudulently. He did that, as I explained before, to get out of county jail and into prison. The other thing he's ever been convicted of is use of marijuana. Number one, under a statute which has since been found to be unconstitutional by the Sinclair decision. And number two, which he's certainly not ashamed of anyway, and doesn't have anything to do with armed robbery, extortion, criminal usury, conspiracy to commit extortion, those kinds of charges. And so if you actually look at what Pun has been convicted of as opposed to what he's been accused of, you can't possibly justify that kind of bond.
Then why do you think that those bonds were set?
Well, the fact that it was a state police operation, the fact that it was apparently directed from Lansing, the fact that they had two assistant attorneys general on the scene, the fact that they put this enormous two-month effort into it, and what, at even if you took everything they said to be true, would apparently be some kind of minor disruption within, you know, particular section of society, as opposed to, you know, a heroin war in Detroit, which is claiming, you know, tens of lives a month, is that they won't punt. I mean, they have now waged a 5 to 6 year battle to put him in jail and keep him in jail with phony charge after phony charge. And it's, you just can't ignore the fact that it's happening again. A charge which is based apparently on the testimony of somebody who's an admitted dope dealer out there and who admittedly apparently took dope which he didn't pay for. And by getting a person like that, not unlike probably the kind of personality that David Valor represented, and bring a charge against somebody that you want. Seems to be what's happening.
That's a good response. The response that I wanted to get also was something about saying that they are political. That this is a political case. You know, if you could say that a little bit more briefly, that would be good.
Well, it seems to be inescapable to conclude that there is no way that that kind of energy would be put into a case, that kind of police power, that kind of money, investigation, to push for those kinds of bonds on those kinds of charges, to arrange the case to be able to try it in a jurisdiction such as that around Traverse City. There's no way to escape the conclusion that they are simply trying to put Pun in jail. And there's only one reason that they would want to do that, and that is they are still trapped in their own view of what it means for people to live like Pun and the people in the Rainbow People's Party live, and they are still extremely hostile and believe a great deal of erroneous things about those people that have chosen to engage themselves in the work of the party in the community. That's what you call a political prisoner. That's why it's there.
Right. Okay, Buck, that'll do it for now. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
Later.
Bye.
Can't talk.
Nobody can talk.
Go.
We've paid too little attention to the economic aspects of the paper, and we're now faced with the task of reorganizing our financial operations before we can put out more issues. David.
Go ahead.
We have paid too little attention to the economic aspects of the paper, and we are now faced with the task of reorganizing our financial operations before we can put out more issues.